This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to another episode of the No Ceilings Podcast. I'm Tyler Metcalf, joined as always by Tyler Rucker. Rucker, what a beautiful Thursday evening we got we have on our hands. I know how you're doing, but for the sake of chit chat, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. I had a little vent sesh with Metcalf. He talked me off of becoming the actual Joker. I just feel like my villain story has begun with the 24 cycle. I'm doing better. Thank you, Mr. Metcalf, Dr. Metcalf. I'm amped about this one because got a jolt of energy. Everyone should see the title. Got a jolt of energy watching some of these guys. So I'm really excited for this episode, Metcalf. So how are you doing, sir? How are we holding up?
I'm fantastic. You know, like the title and the description suggests, we're recapping the McDonald's All-American game from this week. I'll also have a written recap of that up on NoCeilingsNBA.com for plus subscribers. Shameless plug number one out of the way.
You've been
going to be a long episode.
Three pieces this week.
The GG Jackson one and what we can learn from him for this class went up today. That is Thursday. I have a Mark Sears for everyone going up Friday morning. McDonald's recap for Friday midday. What a week! What a time to be alive! And we got Hoop Summit next week. Just imagine all of the stories and references that we're going to exhaust people with for the next year of draft coverage. It's going to be incredible. I absolutely cannot wait for next week.
I've never needed to go scout basketball in person more in my life. I absolutely love my wife. It's been a minute, and I love my kids. So I'm excited to go see these hoops. And we just got a little bit of a preview with these McDonald's guys. And oh boy, I don't know where to start. You take the wheel.
Do you want to start big picture?
Yeah, big picture.
Dive into a specific player. What are you feeling? Dip your toe in, get a sense of the temperature, or just are we diving in head first?
Yeah, no, screw. Excuse my language to everybody, but fuck that. We're diving in. I'm tired of being polite. I watched this game. We've talked about this in previous years. I need to emphasize, like, we talked about this in previous years because I think some people don't understand what we actually mean, what we say on the pod. So what I'm trying to say is I don't take too much from the McDonald's game. Mm-hmm. I watch it just as, you know,
it's an all-star
exhibition game. It's an all-star game. I don't get too caught up in it. I think people need to understand when scouts are going to see these events, the practices are the bigger deal. But it's fun for us to watch the games, get kind of a vibe of like, okay, who's on my radar? Who's the early names I need to watch next year? We did this last year. Me and you both were like, ooh, Reed Sheppard looks pretty good. I don't know. But we said he might be a couple years in Kentucky, and that looks like it's going to be wrong. I don't know about you, Metcalf. And I love the 24 class. I'll keep saying it because it's been one of the most exciting classes in terms of debate. Mm-hmm. It has been so much fun to talk with people all year about what are you seeing? What are you thinking? yes, I understand it's kind of a down year if everyone wants to say it that way. It's been a very fun year. It's been a challenging year. It took me about 2 minutes into this game before I had like a devilish grin. I was tears of joy coming out of my face watching some of these guys. Like, you just completely felt the talent difference. And 25 is going to be worth the hype, and it's going to be packing a punch. So how long did it take you where you're like, oh gosh?
Honestly, once I just opened up Synergy and saw just the roster, I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. I know all of these guys. This is incredible. It was just so much fun. And, you know, hey, NBA, maybe just take a look at the level of competition. You know, these guys are out there running sets. They're competing. They're defending. Kind of a fun example of, hey, you know what? We can try just a little bit in an all-star game. So, you know, I just had a blast. I thought it was such a fun game, and just a real jolt of energy to this whole kind of scouting process from this last year. I agree with you. I think this draft class has been so much fun, just kind of debating different ranges for guys, because there's no clear consensus on a single player in this entire 2024 draft. But this McDonald's game, it showed there's a ton of talent. Now, I think it's really important not to totally overreact to the game, because it is just an all-star game. But these last couple of years, some of the biggest performers last year, I think the two biggest standouts for me were Jared McCain and Reed Sheppard. The year before that, it was Brandon Miller. So there is some credibility to it, because it is the best of the best for the incoming freshmen in the fall, and they're amongst their peers. So a lot of these guys are going to want to show out, and they are competing. It was fun, and some definitely stepped up in big ways compared to others. But I loved it. I thought it was a really, really fun game, and even the scrimmage was super competitive and came down to a buzzer beater.
Yeah, the scrimmage was awesome as well. I watched the game, and then I was like, well, to hell with this. I'm going to keep feeding the beast. Like, I watched the scrimmage. Me and you were texting thoughts, and there's a lot of guys I'm really excited about. There's a lot of, like, it's just more. Obviously, I'm not trying to spend this whole episode comparing it to this year's class, but it's hard not to, because everyone's being like, well, next year is going to be so sweet. And it's like, yeah, you can tell right away, like, there's a legit wagon of hype that's going to be delivered with some of these prospects. I love a lot of these names, like where they're going. I think it's going to be fantastic to kind of see their development. It's going to be a big year for college basketball with all these guys. I'm really excited. I really do think there's a lot of intriguing names. There's some sleepers, some guys that in the game caught my attention of like, I got to pencil him in. Like,
yeah,
maybe not a one and done guy, but I was like, this looks very exciting. And then people you talked to were buzzing about practices, about other guys that didn't look great in the game. And we saw that last year with Nike Hoop Summit Drink. Like, some of the guys didn't play well in the game that looked good all week in practice.
Yeah.
And then it was the opposite. So it's just important to monitor the buzz, kind of get a foundation of your thoughts when it comes to these prospects. And then we get to get excited and move from there. And like Metcalf said, we get to see these, most of these guys next week. Gosh, that snuck up on me. And I feel like the four of us, Corey and Albert, are going, like, I feel like we're all just freaking out. Like, well, gosh, this is going to be unreal. I feel like I'm gonna fall out of my chair like the first practice. Just be like, oh, this is nice.
All right, let's dive into specific players.
You started. You set the tone.
No, I want to know who stood out to you the most. Who got you the most excited? Who, when you were watching, like, oh my God, I love this kid. I cannot wait to talk about him.
Trey Johnson, for me.
Yeah,
pretty far. Now, I know everyone's here to talk about Cooper Flagg, Ace Bailey. We'll talk about those guys in a bit. Trey, very early, got my... I mean, obviously, he's got the ninja headband on, so shout out for Trey doing that. But he got my attention very early on, because I was like, oh gosh, going to Texas just looks like a bucket. And then saw a couple of interviews he did, and I just like his mentality. He seems very, very, like, competitive and just smooth on the court, Metcalf. Like, he's just looks like a bucket. And that's what a lot of these guys, you're going to keep hearing me be like, oh, I like him. It's true. Like, I liked a lot of these guys. They look so fantastic. They look legit. But Trey just looks like a problem waiting to happen in a good way. What did you think?
Yeah, for me, Trey Johnson and Ian Jackson were the two big standouts for me in these games. Going back to FIBA last summer, I thought Trey Johnson was the best player on the court every minute he was out there, and I think he was a year younger than the guys he was playing with. Incredible shooter. You know, rumor has it he still hasn't missed a jumper, but it's smooth, it's effortless, it's an NBA guard scoring package. I mean, some of these jumpers that he's hitting, they're deep. They're from NBA range. They're not just deep for college. They're not just deep from high school. They're legit NBA range already. And he just plays really simple and within himself. And there wasn't any time where it's like, oh, he's over dribbling. Oh, he's trying to do too much. He's playing outside of himself. It was, he just kind of took what was there and executed at a super high level. I think his basketball IQ is through the roof. The shooting was absurd. The passing, I wouldn't necessarily call him a big time playmaker, but just being able to run a pick and roll, find an open guy, make the right decision, deliver an accurate pass from kind of different release angles. It was all incredibly impressive stuff that when you think about him translating, let's just start with college, and he's going to be an incredible fit on that Texas team with just the infusion of that shooting, the on-ball creation, the decision-making. I liked a lot of some of the defensive stuff that he was showing too, and back in FIBA. I think he's going to be incredible for that Texas team next year.
The defense really got me cooking when it came to like excitement. Like I feel like there was some plays where he was really competitive, like getting after it. It looks like he's got good length. I feel like in FIBA Metcalf, he wasn't this explosive. Am I wrong? Am I remembering incorrectly? No, I thought he could shoot it, but he wasn't.
Gotten a little more pop since then. But
with his separation.
He was smooth like this. He was fluid. It looked comfortable the way he moved. But he's definitely gotten a little stronger, a little more pop.
I like how you said like a little more pop. Like it was smooth, and I remember he could shoot it. But I feel like now I'm like, whoa, he's got a little like herky jerky, like real explosion when it comes to like laterally getting places. He just looks nasty, and I think that's a good frame. I got him at 6'6". Is that the same thing you've seen?
That's what I saw.
Okay, so like 6'6", 185, so we put on some good weight. Like, Texas is going to be really fun for him.
That's a really fun fit. That's an incredible kind of size and weight combination to enter college at as a two guard. I really like that. I think his frame is – I don't see any reason why he won't get up to – 200-ish early in his NBA career.
With that mentality, is going to make him a problem. He's already a problem. He's going to be a nightmare.
Yeah, and I saw on Twitter today that apparently all week he was setting up his own individual workouts at like 10 p.m. after team workouts and stuff all week. Obviously, there was video footage of it because it's impossible to work out without video footage these days. If you don't record yourself, it doesn't happen. That's just how it works. I don't make the rules. But he feels like a grinder. He feels like a hooper. He feels like a dude who gets it, who wants it. And it's like, oh my God, if I'm going to bet on a guy, he's going to be very close to the top of my board for next year. I'm so excited about him.
Yeah, working out with Aaron Miller. Shout out, Aaron. That was one of those. I even was watching him in the scrimmage, and I was just like, okay, I'm going to watch a lot of Longhorn basketball next year. Like, it's just really, well, it was a big circle. Like, yep, Trey Johnson, very firmly fan club. Go ahead.
Well, just you think of like the triumvirate of like him, Tyrese Hunter, and Dylan Mitchell. That's a really fun starting three.
And Mitchell should go back because he would thrive off of playing with a shooter like that. They'd be nasty. Yeah.
And just and defensively too, those three on the perimeter. I'm very excited about what this Texas team could look like. And Trey Johnson is a big reason why.
The problem is he's a natural scorer. I think his shot's nice. Like, it's consistent. I'm not a big thing of like, when it comes to your shot early on, is it consistent? Especially when you're coming out of my back. Yep.
You're good.
Unbelievable. What a day. So I just love everything I've seen from Trey. I really do feel like he's going to be a problem. And then he just, when you can be a bucket and you have the frame, you can quickly become dangerous when you keep adding little parts of your game. Like, and that's what I'm saying. Like with the workout videos we saw, obviously I don't overreact to that much, but that tells me you're in the lab, you're working, you're wanting to get better. And, you know, as Metcalf said, you didn't work out unless you recorded it. So shout out on the line. What else? What else you got? Or you got any last comments on Trey?
No. Let's move on. Anyone specific you want to hit up?
No, you let me. I started it. Let's go. I started the fire. You got to keep it going. Throw some gasoline on it.
We're gonna bury the lead a little bit longer with Cooper Flagg and Ace Bailey. I thought Ian Jackson was superb. There was very little. I know he got off to a really inefficient scoring start in that first half of the actual game. I think he started like 4-14. Not great, Bob. But then he just really turned it on. And my fear with him was that, all right, he's just going to be this uber athletic slasher. And that's what he thrives on. He thrives on his speed, his athleticism, and his just irrational confidence. But he started to show a little more craft. He started showing kind of some manipulation stuff with jab steps and shot fakes, some hezzies out of the pick and roll. I think it's this one. Yeah, love that move right there. And then in the scrimmage, he shot like 4 of 6 from three. There's some passing flashes. There's some really good defensive flashes. I thought he had one of the best weeks in terms of the games.
He really impressed me in the scrimmage. Like, he did a couple things in the game where I was like, oh my goodness. Like, just was it me and you were texting and it was like, it's out of control, chaos, it's just so chaotic. And not out of control, but I was like, it's so chaotic that it seems like if he could figure out the speed and the tempo a little bit, like, oh, he's going to be a problem. And then I watched the scrimmages and I was like, okay, it felt like he just looked way more smooth, like playing under control. And I was watching and I was like, man, how big is he? And then I looked at, I was like, 6'4", 6'5". Okay. Like, so there's just a lot of stuff. He'd be tough to defend.
Yeah.
Like that play right there. Like, he's just really herky jerky, like can get you to bite. So guys like that have that explosiveness, that quickness to, if you already have that understanding of like how to get people to bite on your hesitations at that size, he's just another fun one. Like, that is another guy. But me personally, I don't know, I really watched that scrimmage and I was like, okay, like Ian looks great. Like the game, he had some pops, some flashes where I was like, all right, solid. But then I watched that scrimmage, I was like, okay, Mr. Jackson. Like, so
I know the clip just showed it there, but just really some really high level cuts too, where he catches his defender ball watching, you know, they turn their back and he's immediately cutting behind them, getting his way to the rim. So it's on ball, it's off ball. I just was super impressed with him. And it's typically not a guy that I get head over heels for just because of some of the chaos that's in their game. And the more I watched him, the more craft I kind of recognized, the more patience, the more kind of measured approach that, it wasn't just all chaos. Yeah, there was plenty of that in there where he's just kind of recklessly going into a crowd at the rim. But then once he kind of got the feel for the game, figured out the speed, figured out the defenders and all of that kind of stuff, he started picking his way more effectively, more comfortably, and he just slowed down mentally. And that was like, oh, okay, this is fun. And then I thought about him playing in the college game. And it's like, oh my God, I cannot think of a better place for you to go than that high pace, get out and run style that North Carolina plays with. And they're looking to push, they're looking to play fast. And I think if he kind of continues to shoot it like he did in these games, plus that eagerness to get to the rim, to pressure the rim, to play at a really fast speed, but under control and intelligently, that's like, this is a match made in heaven. And I cannot wait to kind of see how that translates for him going to the next level.
Yeah, it's funny how you phrased that in the beginning, because when I first saw him a couple plays, and I remember him from FIBA, but the first couple of plays, I was like, this is the guys I fall for. Like, it's a trap. Like, these are the guys I usually steer away from, because I'm like, the quick, explosive guys always make me nervous, because
it's almost like the guard version of like the overly athletic bigs in high school, where it's like, oh, you're just bigger and can jump higher than everyone else. You're not actually that good.
Yes.
Sorry.
No, it's, I love when you do that, but it's perfect. And that's why I was so happy I watched the scrimmage, because you showed a couple of those clips where I was like, oh, you understand how to play with pace. You understand how to use that to your advantage. So that's a very good, you know, and I'm thinking right now, like Elliot Cadeau goes back, the two of them could be just woof. So yeah. I'm a fan. Like, there's another guy. You're just checking off the list. You're going down the list. And I was like, yes, 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 yes. Like, it's just the really fun class already. What else?
Let's do it. This. Let's jump to Cooper Flagg. Biggest name in the game, arguably. Number one recruit for ESPN. Been the belle of the ball for a couple years now. What stood out to you?
Competitiveness, defense, the outside shot is something I'm going to probably be obsessed with watching next week. No, you know what it is. It's just, I think it's, he's a gamer. I think he's going to be safe. I think teams are going to view him as safe, as being a really smart addition, high level defender. I'm also curious, like, he's going to need to fill out that frame, but like, you see the athleticism, you see the pop, that block he had was unbelievable. Just a smart, intelligent player at good size. I feel better about my jump shot watching him shoot, if that makes sense. it's just one of those things. I think a team, that's the key to the everything. If you can figure out a way to get that shot unlocked on a respectable level, then you're really cooking with something, because what he can do on the court, the versatility is so special. So I don't know if I texted you this, but it's also, those guys are tough to really pop sometimes in like all-star settings. I feel like the flashes come and go, I feel like, but
yeah, there's so much good talent performance by him. Like, he didn't show out. He didn't dominate the game. He had some flashes and stretches where he looked really good. The defense was really consistent and high level all night, but we've seen him play harder and have a bigger impact.
Yeah. I mean, that play was just, it's unreal. No, it's he's going to be well deserved. It's going to be the hype. I'm excited to see him at Duke kind of playing alongside big man. Duke's going to be interesting next year. Duke's also going to be very interesting in the next coming months. Like, who's going to be going back there? I think there's only one guy that should be going back, but yeah, Cooper, I'm excited to see him in person, because he does just look like he's going to be a freak of nature defensively. And I think if you're getting him alongside somebody else, like, yeah, he's going to be number one on my board. If you're getting him alongside somebody else, there's your running mate for years, I feel like. What about you? Was there anything you were like, I need more? Or was it just like, okay, good start?
Yeah, I just want him more, honestly. Yeah. It was just, oh God, just take over. Like, just, but that's not the setting that he was in, and it's, that's tough. Not what he was looking to do. So, you know, I'm really excited to kind of see more of the nuances to his game up close next week. Oh my God, you guys are going to be exhausted by our Hoop Summit references. It's going
to
be incredible.
We'll try to stop it.
Never. I'm never changing. But the defense I thought was incredible. And FIBO is last year or 2 years ago. You know, I think I threw out the kind of bold, spicy take of that he reminded me of a really young Giannis, where it's just incredible length. I think I either texted that to you, or I told it to you on a pod, or I'm outing myself right now in my absurdity.
Who cares? Who cares if you're
emphasis on young? No. Emphasis on young.
That's why we share
MVP.
All of our secrets. We share. All
I'm
our
not
secrets.
Talking about multi-time MVP, best player in the league, Giannis, but like really young Giannis, where there's just length for days, incredibly athletic, super disruptive on defense, and just thrived getting out in transition, and you could tell that he had the brain for it, and it hadn't quite all clicked for him yet, and it's starting to click for Cooper now. This whole last, you know, calendar year, all of it is really starting to come together. You mentioned the frame. he 100% has to fill out, and I think he will. Corey saw him the other week in person and just couldn't stop raving about his frame, so I'm not really worried about that. But then once you start adding 20 pounds of muscle to this dude with the hands that he already has, the length, the size, the athleticism that he already has, it's like, oh my God, like we're talking about like a multi-time all NBA defender potential type of kid here. And we saw with just some of those, the instincts, the shot contests, the defensive playmaking, but then how he also immediately turns that into transition offense, whether it's for himself or immediately getting his head up and delivering some gorgeous outlet passes that are right on the dime, set up his teammates for easy buckets. That's really fun. What it kind of all continues to develop into in the half court, that'll be a bigger kind of point of interest, I think, because defense, I have zero concerns about. Transition offense, I have zero concerns about. What does it look like when it's all slowed down, when things get mucked up, when you're the number one name, not that he hasn't been, but when you're the number one name on the scouting report against guys who are 5 years older than you, in some cases, depending on what team you're going against, that will be fascinating. And I cannot wait. I don't really have any concerns. The shot looks a little funky, but I think it's just a case of a guy whose limbs just go on forever and is just so lengthy that those guys' forms always look a little bit odd. And I think it's going to be fine. I'm not really worried about anything in this game.
Yeah. When you're that size, we all underestimate how hard it is to shoot when you're that size and you have humongous hands. Like it's difficult. So every guy is going to have weird shooting motions. The fact that Victor can shoot the way he does is freak of nature. Like me even seeing him in person, I was like, how does he just every time? Like his hands are humongous. But I'm not worried about Cooper because Cooper, we're seeing how successful bigs that can come in and play elite level defense.
Yeah.
Like, spoiler alert, every front office is going to drool over bigs, like no matter what. And now as they're evolving and becoming defensive oriented with versatility, those front offices are going to keep drooling. So with Cooper, it's going to be like the safe play is what everyone's going to say, because there's a role in which if he doesn't become like this floor spacing asset, you're still getting a super competitive, high feel lockdown defender in theory. But every team's going to be like, well, what if we unlock the offense? And he's our number two alongside the guy we have. Like, I get it. I still think Cooper's going to be having a fantastic year. I'm excited to see him. Just one of those guys too, you see on tape and you're like, he look a little thin, and then see him in person, you're like, he's going to be fine. So I checked all the boxes for me. I'm not surprised when you're the number one guy, you're the alpha. It's always tough to look good in an all-star setting because there's a lot of guys that want to look good. So, you know, it's one of those things where like, that's why people go see the practices. That's why you read a lot of executives and NBA scouts were like, oh, I left before the game. But yeah, they went for the practices. They went for the scrimmage. So,
okay. Let's move on to Arius Bailey. But let's take a quick ad break. Okay, Rucker. Bailey, number two on ESPN, number two in this class. Big name, going to Rutgers. Interesting choice of school. But what stood out to you with him?
You start it. I don't like when you make me start all the time. I sometimes want to see if I agree with your thoughts, because I feel like you're just polite and you'll be like, yeah, good point. And I'm like, no, I want to see.
I tell you, you're an idiot all the time.
Yeah. go ahead.
I don't know why, but I did not realize that he was that big. I think ESPN had him listed at 6'8". I think the broadcast, I could be wrong here, but I thought the broadcast had him at 6'10". Regardless, he looked huge out there, and it's like, oh my God, why did I not realize that you were this big? Similar to the flag, I thought he was a little kind of muted in his all-around impact. Didn't always put the pedal to the metal, but some of his shot making stuff, the defense was incredible, the IQ, it felt really, really similar to flag in terms of play style. But the shot creation, the shot making, and then some of the defensive stuff was incredibly high level. I mean, that
play literally made me laugh.
Absurd.
Midnight. Sorry. I was literally watching the scrimmage at like 11 PM and I like let out like a yelp when that play happened. It was for everyone that isn't watching it, it's just like a turnaround fade off one foot. It was ridiculous. I knew he was 6'8", 6'9". And when the game started, I was like, he's humongous. Like, it was just funny. I was just like, oh, he's a giant. Man, there's a path in which he is a freak. Like, I just, you see some flashes and you're like, oh gosh, if we could just stay on the right path, this is going to be really, really fun. A lot of flashes, I think, you know, yeah, still some stuff that needs to be ironed out, but he was Georgia's Gatorade Player of the Year. Have you seen what his numbers were in high school?
No, but I'm okay. Ready for you to floor me with them.
33, 15, 4, and 2 blocks.
Oh, he couldn't get to 5 there?
Yeah. It was 3.9 assists, so I'm sorry.
Sounds like a little selfish with the ball.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
Yeah, his assist to turnover rate. Can we talk about it first? No.
Yeah, but how is he as a screener?
I don't give a damn. I mean, you watch him.
I'm kidding.
No, I'm just saying. You watch him and there's just some stuff he can do that you're just like, you get really drunk in love in a hurry of like, oh gosh, you just start throwing names in your head. Like, whoa, like.
And I think it's Paul Biancardi couldn't stop throwing out Paul George. The one that kind of just kept jumping to my mind was like, God, this looks like Jason Tatum. But that's how good some of these guys look. I promise I don't typically throw out those types of names.
I had weird,
and I hate that. That's unfair expectations. But
I got one for you that you're going to think is crazier.
Okay.
Just the way he moved. I had like modern era Penny Hardaway vibes. I don't know what, like he's bigger, but yeah. I just kind of like the way he kind of danced and moved around. I was just like, man, and maybe, I don't know. Maybe that was more for Trey, but with Ace, it just felt like, ooh, felt like jazz out there with him. It just felt like there's like, oh man, if he could really keep taking those next step forward, like this is a damn problem. And playing with Dylan Harper next year, Dylan looked good. So like, I know we're going to talk about him, but Ace looked, the upside is crazy with him.
Yeah.
If things come together, like crazy upside. So I think that's the Cooper and Ace would be, you know, Cooper, I feel like you feel better about the high floor, high ceiling, but I feel like Ace has like, whoa, that ceiling is really up there.
Yeah, and just when you look at his kind of combination of athleticism, size, and ball skills, it's perfect. There isn't much more to ask for. And he's looked like he had a solid handle. The shot looked solid. Obviously, mid-range looked a little smoother than from outside, something he'll have to work on. As does every other teenager in the world. But then just even some of like the instinctual passing stuff, the way he kept the ball moving, the way he attacked closeouts, it was like, God, this dude just knows how to play. And if you're in the 6'8 to 6'10 range, handling the ball like that, getting to different shot attempts, that scoring package already, it's like, my goodness, you're going to be a problem. So I don't mean to put absurd expectations on these kids already, but when you play like that, you're kind of doing it to yourself.
Yeah. It's important to put those expectations right now because you get to see where they trend. Like you get to see where, if they're going up or down. And I mean, it didn't take long for me to be like, ooh, Ace is going to be something. So I just right away, I was like 1-2, pretty easy. Like there's a lot of guys that I was like, oh man, I could see myself falling in love with him as a prospect, but just watching Ace, you're just like, oh man, there's a dangerous world of dreams right there. Like it's really, really fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And anything else on Ace, or you want to just jump to his teammate?
No, jump to his teammate.
Let's do it. Dylan Harper, also going to Rutgers. What stood out?
Every time you guys say Rutgers, I think you're saying Rucker. So it always drives me crazy every time. Which I take it as a compliment. Dylan looks like a guy that I'm convinced the more I'm going to watch him throughout the year, the more I'm just going to be like, oh, I'm in. I'm already in. Let me correct that. I'm in already, but I just feel like watching him play, I had the same vibes of Jerod McCain last year of just like, they know how to play. They know how to play. They understand how to play alongside guys. They know when to get their shots. They know high feel guys like that. They don't seem sped up all the time. They just seem like they know how to play at their speed and get people to come down to their world. I mean, what about you?
Yeah. And he grew on me as the game kind of progressed. My initial, you know, first minute impressions were, all right, kind of stocky, not super athletic. It's like, all right, does he only play at one speed? Well, like, did the success only come from him just being bigger and stronger than the guy, the 95% of the guys he was going against? And then you start to see the craft in his game, and the feel, the decision making. And, you know, there are a handful of dunks in here, so it's not like he's a bad athlete by any means. But, like, this pass right here, the way he leads Badunga away from flag on the rotation,
that's so nice.
It's subtle. Like, it's not a lot, but the way that he throws it away from the defender there. Oh, screwed up the fast forward. But here we go. The way that he just throws it back towards the middle of the paint, away from flag, it's really subtle but high-level stuff. And the fact that he's doing that already makes me really encouraged for the way that he can run a college team, let alone a high school all-star team. And he walked away with co-MVP honors in this game, which, side note, co-MVP, really? Make a decision. Lame. Give it to one guy. God.
Participation trophies.
Oh my God. Just drives me insane. But no, it's the feel, the IQ, the scoring versatility. And he was consistently getting shots in all three levels of the floor. It was all really impressive. And it was like, holy crap. Okay. Whatever my initial concerns with him, I'm not sure they matter, because I think the decision-making and that, just knowing how to play is really going to outweigh any perceived athletic concerns.
He's going to get every Jalen Brunson comparison in the world, because now that's what we're doing, but he does play the game that way. I think everyone gets caught up sometimes too with like, oh, athleticism isn't great, but it's also, I'm one of those guys, if you have high feel, if you have good vision, you can make up for that in a big way. Like,
yeah.
That's always been my belief. Like, and with Dylan, I'm watching that. And those passes, like the one Metcalf highlighted, like scouts take note of that. That's throwing it on a dime and where your teammate gets away from the defender. Like, those are little details that really do mean a lot. So I think Dylan just looks like a high feel player that's going to be able to understand how to play at his speed, make defenders come down to his level, like I said before. And those are guys I have a weakness for, because you just believe that they're going to make teammates better. They're going to be able to really help you out and thrive. So yeah, watch Dylan. It was a quick yes for me. I was just like, yep. I'm very much in on Dylan Harper as a prospect.
Couldn't agree more. All right. Who do you want to jump to now?
I don't know. There's a lot of.
I'll give you a choice here. Do you want to go VJ Edgecombe, Boogie Fland, or Jaden Quaintance?
I feel like VJ is probably the one I'm most excited about out of those. Right. So you can tell me if you'd rather save that.
Let's go. What makes you so excited?
There was just some moments of like, grab your chair and holy crap. Like, defensively, the explosiveness, there's just some crazy stuff there where he looks like he has vines for arms. Then he gets up and does some stuff like that. He's nasty.
Violent.
Like, I feel like in my notes, I was just writing like violence. And there's just stuff with his game. There's athletic pop. There's quickness. That's one of those guys, if you continue to add, ooh, upside crazy. And just some of the defensive stuff, you're like, oh my goodness. So I don't know. The more I watched VJ, the more I was like, oh, I'm loving this. McDonald's, I'm loving it. What about you? I mean, do you disagree? Was there anything you're worried about? I just, the longer it went on, the more I was like, oh, VJ, I'm in. I'm in.
Yeah, and I really liked him. The athleticism is freakish. Love the rebounding, love the defensive playmaking. I didn't really get a feel of what he did.
Athleticism with anger. Does that make sense? I didn't mean to interrupt you, but it's like athleticism with anger.
Yeah.
I don't know how to explain it, but it's like, it's mean.
It's like he's frustrated that people have the gall to jump with him. It's like,
or dribble in front of him.
Dare insult me. And
it's fun.
Sorry. I didn't get a feel for what he does offensively. He was pretty uninvolved there. He was another guy kind of like Flagg, kind of like Bailey, where it felt like they just kind of went through the motions for part of the game. It is an all-star game, so I'm not, trying to kill the kid. But I'm not sure what he is offensively, aside from cutting, running in transition, kind of some really high-level acrobatic at-rim finishes.
Yeah, he's like 6'4", 6'5", but it just looks like he's got a freakish wingspan. The shot needs to come around, and then he's going to play. He's going to be a two-way guy for a very long time.
Yeah.
But, some things I read from the buzz from practices was like his passing really popped for some people, and that's a very exciting development. And, the defense, obviously, we see the flashes. So if that shot comes around, which ding, 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 there's the shot guy. If the shot comes around, like there's our first one. We're cooking with something. And I think that's the type of guy that's, you're like, okay, if he's a combo guard with playmaking ability and serious defensive chops with that athleticism, that mentality, then we're cooking. That's where you're like, hey, let's get him in here and be patient about the shot process. But yeah, I'm very excited about that. Like, it's the alpha mentality, if it's the right way and you're not a prick about it, like if you're on the court and you just play with that edge all the time and teammates love playing with you, very easy for me to buy in. Like I've mentioned it before. It's like, excuse my language, I call it the asshole factor. Like those guys figure out a way to stick, and those guys figure out a way to be effective. So another one on that list, like when they go play Texas, gosh, I'm trying to remember all the conferences now because everyone's moving. But yeah, it's just it's going to be very fun. So I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's see. Let's go Boogie Fland. Let's jump to Kentucky. Their Boogie new point Knights. Guard. He was fun, man. He was smooth. He was creative. The shot looked legit. He looks very skinny. They're not the same player necessarily, but there's kind of that same senses of that same kind of flair and creativity with the ball that Rob Dillingham has showed for them all season. So I'm not comparing them as players necessarily, but that kind of vibe, that on ball creativity. I was really impressed with Boogie.
We did a FIBA Team USA thing, and me and you talked about how much we loved Boogie. We did. And that was back a while ago. And now I still love him. I love you using the Rob Dillingham name. You got to be careful around these parts with that word, but he seems more herky jerky to me than Rob. Maybe
a little bit more.
I like some of the playmaking stuff. I'm going to need another interesting one. He's listed at 175 and taking the under, but I really, really like his mentality, the way he was playing, getting to the mid range, getting to his spots, some of the ability to like hold on to the last second and then make the dime. Like, it's just the timing was really impressive for me. So yeah, Boogie, I always thought he was going to be an exciting one, and Calipari's last dance. So hopefully Boogie hits the ground running.
And anything really kind of concern you with him, or is he just kind of a guy where it's like, man, you're fun. Like you just kind of know how to create an offense, create your shot, create good looks for other guys, run a pick and roll. 175 feels very generous. He looks very skinny, but
what do we think he needs to get to? Because apparently Calipari and Kentucky have the greatest weight program ever, because I feel like we saw Dillingham gain like 30 pounds. So
grow like 4 inches.
Yeah. he's
listed. Sorry, are you talking about for next year or like at his peak in the NBA?
No, I'm saying what do we need him to be hitting the scale as a freshman on campus? Like if he is 175, let's say he is. If Boogie came in and he's like, oh, he's 188. Are we like, oh, that's great. I think he's guys with that are tough. I don't think you want to get them to too big of a number down the road. Like, cause if Boogie was 6'2", 200, like
that'd be like, oh, what?
Cause you're losing your explosiveness. You're losing, right. Like, yes, but you lose that advantage that you have with the quickness. So I think he just gets, if he is 175, you get about 10, 15, not saying right away. I know how hard it is to gain that weight, guys. Like, then I think Boogie could really be something. But it looks exhausting to have to try to guard him.
Yeah.
Because of just how quick he can get moving. So
if he's in the 180s, I'd be ecstatic.
Yeah, I'd be thrilled.
If he was actually 175, I'd be like, all right, cool. Like, this is something to work with. If he comes in 165, I was going to be like, eh.
Yeah. I agree. I agree. Okay. Was there anything else you had about him or?
No, I do want to talk about his new teammate, though, Jaden Quaintance.
You got to start this one off.
This dude was fun. So he's only 16. He doesn't turn 17 until June. So he's going to be too young to be part of the 2025 draft class. So he is an automatic 2-year guy. So congrats, Kentucky fans. You have a guy staying for more than 2 years. No more one and dones in Calipari's team.
He's got the college football rules, which I believe we should go back to because college basketball would be way better.
Hot take. Quaintance is so goddamn strong. He was the strongest dude out there. If there was a loose ball or a rebound that he wanted, it was his. If he was going to the rim, guys were getting out of the way and making business decisions. Excuse me. He was just really, really fun. And then you factor in the age and that strength and athleticism and size already and how hard he was playing and the defensive stuff is like, oh my goodness. Like, your defense and strength is already this good. 2 years at Kentucky, you're going to be a problem. Now, the offense is going to be a question mark because it's like, can you do anything more than rebound and dunk? Didn't see a whole lot of that in these games, but he's young. The joys of youth, you get to improve. So
yeah,
never going to write anything off by any means, but didn't see a whole lot in terms of shooting or kind of offensive creation from him.
He's tough as shit. Like he's 16. He looks 25 out there. He's 6'9", 225. Like he's
good Lord.
He's tough. I'm right there too. Like he has crazy upside. It's just, he needs to buy into the long-term vision that Calipari for now is going to have with him. Cause it's going to be like, you got 2 years, trust it, just keep building it. And then if he does and you unlock some stuff, then next year we're going to be like, holy crap.
Just
let the beast run wild. So crazy upside. I love it. I think it's cool. I hope he's a superstar. So people realize like, look at 2 years of college, look what you can do. Like, it's just, I kept feeling like they were lying. Like I knew Jade coming into the game. I knew his story, we've been, spoiler alert guys, we track every draft class. Like that's what we do. So like, I understood what was going on. And then I just was like, okay, let's see where he's at. And right away I was like, man, physical for that young, you're physical. So I like the mentality he plays with, but it's just what else is going to develop with it? Because he's going to be the youngest guy next year playing against a bunch of studs. So let's see how he adapts. And I feel like with guys like that, as your offensive game gets going, I'd love if you just bought in defensively early on. Like that would tell me a lot. Like if you could just be like, I'm locking up and the rest of the pieces will fall into place. I mean, are you thinking McCaffrey's just going to be one of these, like, they're playing him like crazy next year? I know he's a big time recruit. I'm just saying the youth, like, is Calipari going to try to bring him along slowly, or are you just letting him run wild and learning on the go?
I mean, given the outrage that that entire program has faced for the youth on the team already, I would imagine that, you know, that they bring him along slowly and aren't just throwing him 30 minutes out of the gate. I would love that just from a developmental standpoint and like as a case study to see like, all right, cool. What's going to happen? But I would imagine it's a little more measured, and he probably comes off the bench for most of next year, especially depending on whatever transfers they bring in. And, you know, they can afford to do that since he's not going pro. So they can put a little more developmental time and effort into it, just into his next year. So I'm just really intrigued. I think he's going to be kind of a fascinating just case study and situation with that Kentucky team that we don't typically get to see. The only other name that I think we really need to dive into deep, at least, is the other co-MVP, Derek Queen. What were your kind of thoughts with Queen?
Getting into trouble. He looks like he's 16 compared to Jaden. Like, and what I'm trying to say at this, like, they zoomed in on him and I was like, his body just really looks like it hasn't, like, I'm not saying developed, but it just looks like he's got a lot of conditioning to work on. I'm not trying to say the guy's overweight, guys. Okay. So stop trying to fish for that. I'm just saying, like, you could tell. Like, Harrison Ingram, his freshman year at Stanford, me and Albert went and saw him. And I was like, his body looks like it's still got baby fat. Like, it still looks like it needs to shape up. And me and Albert talked about how much better Harrison Ingram's looked this year because it's just filled out, and now he's been a force. Derek has that feeling. But when I was watching the first 5 minutes, I was like, he looks like the best damn player on the court right now because he was just doing everything. Like, he was so versatile. He's so skilled. The high feel. He just kept doing a lot of stuff where you're like, this dude just can play hoops. This is a hooper. And I was just like, this is going to be one of my favorite things to track next year. Just like how his game develops. Cause he's making plays, he's making passes, he's doing a little bit of everything. I feel like I was more intrigued than you, I'm guessing. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. He was fun. I love the feet. I love the hands.
I'm a sucker for the high feel.
Yeah.
The guys that look like they're going really so slow, but they're just a step ahead of everyone. Like, that's why we love Jokic, because Jokic, we're like, this guy doesn't look like he should be kicking everyone's ass. And then they just keep making plays. And Derek Queen in the game, I was like, this dude just keeps making plays. Am I ready to put him in my top five? Hell no. I'm just saying, I'm intrigued. I'm in. I'm intrigued.
All right, so Tyler Rucker calls Derek Queen Jokic.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying, like, the high field bigs, I think, are now, if you're a big, you can either offer this high field versatility offensively with size, or you can be this defensive anchor. And I feel like the side for Queen to really make it as a prospect is he's going to have to hang his hat on the offensive versatility. So, yeah. Is that 1 year? I don't know. Is that 2 years? We'll see. Like, we'll see how he does at Maryland. But did you not have any other sleepers or thoughts about Derek before we move on?
I thought his footwork in the post, out of the short roll and transition, was really impressive. That stuff that you can kind of develop and mold and manipulate into different areas of the game to kind of translate it to the next level eventually, where it's not just, you know, back to the back or back to the basket post up moves. It's more being able to kind of be in control out of the short roll and play make from there. I thought he had some passing flashes that were really high level. His hands, I mean, he caught everything, super disruptive on defense. He can't play center in the NBA.
I was trying to see how long we could be polite.
He's a lumbering below the rim athlete, and guys like that have made it, but like, I got kind of Kyle Anderson vibes from him.
Which would be tough at the big man position.
Right. You can't do that at center. Because I think he's listed at 6'9". Or 6'10", maybe. But it wasn't... He's not a 7-footer. At least not yet. Maybe he grows. Who knows?
6'9", 230.
Yeah, so...
listed. Yeah.
So that's what he's listed at. Getting a little better shape, cut down on that, transition a little more to a four. Now your game becomes a little more translatable to the NBA, depending on the roster, if you kind of have a stretch five. That's all I'm saying, because he's not a big-time rim protector. He showed some good verticality, some good instincts. I think he's a really smart and skilled player. There are just very obvious athletic limitations that become a lot more difficult to overcome when we're talking, you know, level after level, especially with the NBA and especially for big men. So, all right. Anyone else that you wanted to talk about? Anyone else?
I thought the games were a bad setting for Carter Bryant. I think he's going to be really good at Arizona.
I thought Bryant showed some kind of fun stuff. I think he's going to be an acquired taste because he just does a lot of little things out there. I thought the defense looked really good. I mean, like on this clip where he's kind of communicating rotations, rotating down, communicating switches on, you know, off ball, tagging, recovering, contesting the shot. I like that.
He looked good. No,
it wasn't the setting for him to.
It wasn't this exactly. I think in Arizona, he's going to be fantastic and everyone's going to be shocked about how much that stock starts cooking. We actually saw him last year at Hoop Summit when he's not even on the rosters. And we were like, this kid's going to be a problem. He made a jump pass in transition too, where I was like, okay, there's some good feel stuff. I even liked a couple of the attempts he missed. Donnie Freeman.
He was interesting.
Is on my radar.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued. I also loved, after watching him, I went and like did my research on him. I love hearing that he was cooking. He skyrocketed up ranks. I'm intrigued. Yeah, I don't know if it's a one and done, but I'm intrigued.
It sounds like his shot has come a long way. It looked good in these games, looked like a big time athlete. So it's like, all right, cool. I like that combination. Those are two good things.
Confidence is a scary thing when it starts to come on in. I know I'm trying to think of some guys. Bethea never really got me.
Same.
Going, they're, although they're I've like heard great
or,
things about
there
him.
There were like two or three flashes where it's like, oh. And then they were,
and then never came back. Yeah. I was just like, okay, I'll have to write the flashes down.
I think Drake Powell kind of had similar, where it's like, oh, okay, I think you know how to play. I think you have a high feel. I think you're going to fit in really nicely at North Carolina next year. But again, just didn't leap off the screen. I thought Flory Badunga was really interesting.
Very interesting.
Freak athlete. By all accounts, a really good kid. Showed some not sure, don't know.
I think there's like three big boys at Hoop Summit,
but he ran the floor incredibly well, really good hands, and then just some passing flashes. It's like, oh, that's fun if that kind of continues to grow. So I liked a lot of what he showed.
Was Flory the one that like threw down a very angry left-handed dunk kind of in the vicinity of Cooper Flagg? I think it was him, but I was like,
I think he went up with two hands every time.
Oh, maybe I'm thinking of somebody else. Okay. Now you're going to bug me. I'm going to have to look at that. Maybe it was in the scrimmage. No, I don't know. Carter Knox, same thing. I had some flashes and I was like, okay, like, all right. Like, I'm excited about all these guys, but it was just the ones we talked about in depth really stood out to me.
Yeah.
I feel like early on in the game, Bryson Tucker, I was like, oh, I'm intrigued. And then I was like, okay, wait and see. Trip Perry never really got me buying all in. McNeely, I was like, I wanted way more.
Yeah.
But I also think he's just a guy that like the shot's going to have to fall. Looks good. I did the double take of like, oh, he's 6'7". I was just like, oh, okay. I thought he was like 6'5" for some reason. I was like 6'7". That's okay. But then I just kept waiting for more and never got it. So I don't know. I'm excited. The whole class looked fantastic. The whole class looked like it's really going to be fun.
And it was a super competitive game.
Yeah. Scrimmages were fun too.
It was very fun. If you haven't watched it yet, highly recommend it. Also highly recommend, a little bias here, but going and checking out my written recap over at noceilingsnba.com. God, I'm just done. Fire. It's incredible. All right, let's take our final ad break and then we'll jump into Anthony Black's rookie season. Okay, Rucker, Anthony Black, point guard, combo guard, wing, whatever, you know, jack of all trades. He ended up ninth on our final big board. He ended up being the sixth pick to the Orlando Magic. He is currently averaging 17.4 minutes, 4.7 points, with shooting splits of 46, 38.5, 61 on relatively low volume, 2.1 rebounds, 1.4 assists. Where do you want to start with Mr. Black?
Where do we have him?
Ninth.
I was watching his stuff today. I think he looks great. Mm-hmm. And I think everyone's going to shock or be shocked when they hear those numbers and be like, why do you think he looks great? Because I think he's adapting to early life in the NBA on a roster that's starting to play much better, starting to find their groove, starting to believe in themselves, and is very heavy at his position. I like some of the defensive stuff. I think the shot looks like it's trending in the right direction. You're not buying it?
I think anything off of movement or pull up is pretty brutal right now.
Yes.
Like the footwork is super inconsistent. I think over his last 10 games, he's sub 30%. I think he's only at like 1.4 attempts total on the year. So I love the 38.5 on the season at face value, but it's like, all right, five extra attempts and that's skewing pretty dramatically in either direction. He kind of also has like this funky like side of the face push shot,
but he's always had that, and I feel like it looks
I know
fluid this year,
which, you know, 5 years ago it would have been like, oh my god, rework the entire shot.
Yeah,
but exactly. A guy like Nikhil Alexander Walker has a really similar release, and it took him a couple years, but he's a 40% three-point shooter this year and on legit volume. So it might just be one of those things where it needs time. It doesn't need to be overhauled. It doesn't need to be reworked, but it needs to be obsessively tinkered with year after year after year and improve a whole bunch of little things. Because if you're going to have that release, your touch has to be perfect and it has to be absolutely consistent every single time.
I feel like I think the first full offseason is so big for all these rookies. Like, and I feel like with Anthony Black, it's just, he just needs reps. You just need reps of like, okay, I understand now what I need to work on after a season of being in the NBA. Like, I need to get quicker with my pull-up jumper. I need to get quicker with my catch and shoot. Like, because you do see some really good playmaking stuff. You do see some defensive stuff. I think that's always where he's going to be able to lean on. It's just, can next year he take that stride with the offense? We'll see what the roster is going to look like, but that's why you draft Anthony Black so early, is so that next year you're giving him a little bit more on the plate. And I think there's going to be a future in which they have Jalen Suggs and him on the court. And it's just, whew, like that's a very nasty defensive backcourt. If Anthony Black keeps developing is what I'm saying. So I think he's right on cue with what we were expecting with him landing with Orlando. Don't you? Like, I don't think, I told someone in the beginning of the year, I was like, I don't think he's going to go into Orlando and just, they can't take him off the court. Like, I think it's going to be a guy that's flashes, maybe finds his groove in the second half. I thought if he had a holy crap moment, it was like the second half of the year, they're like, oh gosh, Anthony Black's destroying it. We have to keep him on the court. But I also think that team's playing better than most thoughts, so you're being patient with your new asset.
Yeah, and it just really feels like they're still kind of figuring out how to use him, and like they don't really know what he is or how he really fits in on offense yet. And so when you just look at his shot profile, 42% of his shots are at the rim, which is in the 95th percentile, and 18% of his shots are on corner threes, which is in the 82nd percentile. So he's taking high efficient looks, but that also screams to me, it's like, all right, just take what's kind of given to you. Don't force stuff. Don't be like overcomplicate it. There's been flashes of playmaking, but the usage is so low that he really hasn't been able to kind of unlock what we saw in high school and at Arkansas. And assist rate of just 10.3 is in the 11th percentile. Turnover rate of 15.5 is in the 11th percentile. Not totally uncommon for a rookie. The NBA's hard. It happens. Not really worried about it in the long run. What's really stood out to me, though, is the defense, where his or the Magic's defensive rating when he's on the court is 110.3, which is in the 92nd percentile, and opponents have a turnover rate which is 15.4, which is in the 85th percentile. That's where I think he's really making his impact and really kind of helping this team right now. I don't think the impact from him offensively is going to happen this year or maybe even next year, but what he's showing right now is that he can be a hell of a defender and really kind of just play a role, which is really difficult for rookies, especially ones who have always grown up on the ball, to be like, you know what, I'm just going to be a hell of a defender. And he was a really good defender in high school and college, so it's not unusual for him. But the fact that he's doing it already on a team that really prides itself on its defense and is one of the best defenses in the league, that's really impressive for a rookie. And that stuff has really stood out to me in all of their tape.
Yeah, defense will get you on the floor. And I think we all thought that that's why I was so intrigued with Anthony Buck. Like, he, I feel like I was cooler on him as a prospect the whole year. And then at the end of the year, I evaluated all of his film and the defense got me buying it. Like, I was like, oh yeah, the playmaking's there. The shot's a question mark. What else? And then I bought in on the defense. And I think when you're a young player trying to earn minutes, when you can buy in to like, okay, defense will get me on the court. Fantastic. Your point about like the percentages at the rim and stuff, like he's also showing like willingness to be an off ball guy, like cutting, finding lapses, yeah, like getting easy buckets. But you also have to have the desire and the understanding of when to cut. And figuring that stuff out early as a rookie is so underrated, because then you can always have that in your mind when everything else is starting to click. So, you know, it might not happen next year. He might have a nice leap. And then all of a sudden, a couple of years down the road, we might be like, man, Anthony Black's turned into a really nice piece. Like, he can do a little bit of everything. So I think he's right on cue. Like, I think now you're playing with house money that Jalen Suggs has taken this type of leap, and you have a young, talented 6'7" playmaking guard with defensive chops that's just going to be in the lab working on his game. Like, I know it's tough when you're drafting someone that early to be like, you know, 4 points a game, what are you talking about? I think this is right on cue. Like, this is perfect. Yeah. Like, they're going to keep getting nastier and he's going to keep getting better. This is how you stop being in the lottery. Like, this is how your team all of a sudden looks up in a couple of years and like, shit, Orlando's nice. Like, I don't know. Do you think I'm nuts or?
No, like when you just kind of like look at his box score numbers, the only number that really matters to me right now is that 17 and a half minutes. Because what that's telling me is the coaches trust him enough to play him almost, a little over a quarter of the game. And they have playoff aspirations, and yeah, like legit, like, let's do some damage playoff aspirations, not hey, let's sneak in with a play and win. But then you just kind of like look at the lineups that he's being used with, and it's not like he's just a bench piece, you know, being kind of thrown in there at random times either. His two most used lineups, because I was kind of curious, it's like, all right, how are his numbers overly inflated because of garbage time or whatever? But per cleaning the glass, his number one most used lineup is him, Suggs, Franz, Paolo, and Goga for 574 possessions. Offensive rating of just 115.2, but defensive rating is 104.3, 83rd percentile for a net rating of 10.7, 70th percentile. I know that offensive, defensive, and net ratings aren't everything. Save your comments. It's just an easy, a quick and pretty reliable place to just immediately glance at an impact. Second most used lineup, him, Cole, Joe Ingles, Jonathan Isaac, Mo Wagner, 148 possessions, offensive rating of 137.8, 97th percentile, defensive rating of 101.3, 90th percentile, net rating of 36.5, 99th percentile. What I took from that is he can play with anyone out there, whether it's gunners from the bench or the starters who are a little more measured and kind of controlled and, you know, slow it down on offense. He can go out there and defend with the best of them and be a really crucial and important defensive piece while being a connective, low maintenance connective piece on offense. So I thought those lineups were really interesting. And just like the kind of disparity with the stars in that first one, and then basically a full-on bench unit in the second one, but a very, very dominant five-man bench unit.
The minutes thing couldn't be, I love that you brought that up. That is humongous, regardless of what he's doing in the rest of the box score. Like, they were 34 and 48 last year. They're 45 and 31 right now. They're two games back of Milwaukee for the two seed in the East behind the Boston Celtics. But what I'm saying is that is an unbelievable turnaround. They're hoping, like, their dream, I've always said this, when you're a young team, you get back in the playoffs, your dream, you want to win a playoff series. If you could go in the playoffs and win a playoff series, you overexceeded your goals that year. I don't care what any fan base says. Then you get greedy. Then you were like, okay, give me more. You know, you just hit on, you doubled down on 11 at the blackjack table and you won. And now you're like, wait, one more hand. Maybe I get it. You get excited. But the goal was for Orlando this year to get back into the playoffs. If you win a series, you're fantastic, because now you have all this youth and young pieces starting to believe in each other, believe that they're on the verge of getting to that next step. So with all that going on, for Anthony Black to be almost getting, like you said, Metcalf, almost a full quarter of play despite only averaging 4 points a game, that tells you, like you said, the defense, the mentality of how his teammates trust him to make an impact without scoring. And I just think he's a high field player that this team is, you know, is really getting close to just being contenders in the East all the time because of how young they are and how the pieces fit so well together. And I think Anthony Black only getting better is going to help them. And I just think he's in a great spot in which they don't have to rush this. They can just keep unlocking a little bit. And I think he's right on cue. He's on a perfect place.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And yeah, and I was so close to just way overthinking him last year. And
me too.
I'm glad I didn't.
Me too.
He has the size, the athleticism, the field, the defense. Yeah, the shot's not there, but it's really rare for guys to not improve as shooters nowadays. So when you look at kind of the impact that Anthony Black has been able to have, despite not having the shot and kind of filling in around the edges and just figuring out a role and how to contribute to winning basketball, what's the best thing we can kind of take from that and his experience and apply to this year's class?
I love it when you do this. Where do I start?
So for me, the number one name is Stephan Castle.
And I would say the number two name behind that would be Nikola Topic.
Ooh, interesting.
I'm not saying just the defensively. I'm just saying the shot question marks. How can you make an impact with the team? But I think Castle is the poster child for comparing him and Anthony Black. I said how can you be buying, if you bought into Anthony Black, how can you not be buying into Stephan Castle? I said they're the same guys. Like, they're both 6'6", 6'7", playmaking, feel, defensive chops. I think Castle's going to be a better defender.
I think he already is.
Yes. And I do think Castle's offensive upside's a bit higher. But I could say that Anthony Black's playmaking is better. So what I'm trying to say is, I think the team's going to look at Castle of like, well, look at how he adapted to this role. Look at how he thrived in this new role. You know, that's something we don't give him enough credit for, is being top dog point guard at 6'6 in high school, putting up big numbers and going into a program that they said, we have plenty of scorers here. You've got to figure out how to defend, get on the court. And he said, fine, let's do it. And we've heard since preseason practices that he was kicking ass defensively, and I did not think it was going to be like this. So I think that's a good one. Topic, I just threw out there because the shot questions and playmaking, he's going to have to impact the game offensively to get on the court, although someone's going to let him do it because that's why they're picking so high. So what do you think?
Yeah, and the Topic one is a little tough for me just because the defense.
I probably jumped the gun there because I was so excited to talk about Topic because he's about to return to practice. So I haven't talked about him in months, so it's driving me crazy.
A couple other names that I think this, you know, that this kind of mindset could apply to. Cody Williams is probably up there. Maybe Matas Buzelis, given how the defense has improved and the shot has disappeared.
Never was there.
He's such a different player than Black, though. So I really think Castle's the.
It's tough because
the main one.
Guys, I keep looking at. I'm trying to say, I'm like, and then I'm like, well, they're shooters. Like I wanted to say Keyshawn George, and I was like, no. Ryan Dunn. Nick Clifford. McCullough, maybe.
Maybe, but the difference between like all those guys that both of us mentioned after Castle is their wings.
McCullough is the one I think that could be the closest to Anthony Black.
If he's
healthy. If he's healthy.
Yeah.
But because of the versatility, he could figure out a way to earn minutes as a rookie because he's older. Now, thank you. He's a senior. Anthony Black was a freshman. I get it. I'm just saying he could figure out a way how to get on the court with his defense and his feel, despite maybe not putting up a bunch of points. But I would say it's Castle.
Yeah.
If we're talking about one guy, it's Castle.
I totally agree. Anything else on Anthony Black?
No. Go All Magic.
Right. Let's figure out. Let's bring out the wheel. Let's figure out who our next.
I'm waiting for one person because we're going to go all in. We might just make it an episode. Just rip the bandaid off. Oh, mine froze. I can't tell.
Scoot Henderson.
What beautiful timing, too. He's been starting to play good. I just talked to someone from the Blazers, and they said he's starting to look a lot better. So
cannot wait.
That's going to be a very That'll big episode. Fun. We're going to have to plan this episode really far out
so,
in advance.
Yeah, this one we may need. It may take 2 weeks for us to get there just because next week's schedule is going to look a little different with us being out at Hoop Summit. Get ready for the references. They'll be exhausting.
Oh, yeah. We can't talk about that with Albert and Corey because they're going to be thieves of joy. No, we can't correct. Do
it. Yeah, no, they're going to be zero fun. Man, we enjoy fun. So,
yeah. Well, then we could plan it. Yeah, we could plan it out and talk about it and watch film. See that?
It'll probably be the week later. But we'll have a whole bunch of fun stuff from Hoop Summit, both written, video, audio, all that kind of stuff next week. I really hope everyone enjoys the Final Four and the championship this weekend.
Are we skipping Green Room?
Yeah, we're going long. We'll get to it next week or two weeks from now. So I apologies to throw off your. I know I threw it on the rundown, but
it's okay.
Next time. Rucker, who you got in the final four? Who got one in it all? You're gonna be super creative and go with UConn.
Yeah, that plane fiasco stuff for UConn's unbelievable. Funny. I think Purdue's gonna win. I hope that Edie enters the DJ booth and just struggles. It'll be unbelievable television. I think it's going to be tough. I think we're getting Purdue. We're going to get the Twin Towers going. Godzilla and Kling Kong. Gosh, I can't wait to make that artwork. Get them going toe-to-toe. What about you? I don't think Bama's going to be able to slow down that beast. They just don't have the... I like a lot of Bama's guys as returners for next year at CAF.
I like a couple of them.
I don't need you to get them to come out. I need one more year from a couple of them. I've had them on my list for next year for 5 months.
Just go rewatch some of Ryland Griffin over the last month. He's nice. He's nice. And you know who else is nice? Mark Sears, who I will have a piece up Friday morning on NoCeilingsNBA.com.
Wherever you get your coffee, can you tell me? You've been on a heater this week, and I need it.
I don't think it's ridiculous if Mark Sears goes first round. I'll leave you there.
I don't either.
There's a really fun film dive, really fun statistical comps, really fun player. So go check it out.
I love him. Every time I've watched him, I've loved him. I would not be shocked. I don't care. Throw the height thing out the window. The dude's numbers are unbelievable.
Rucker, this is a blast. You can follow him at Tyler_Rucker. You can follow me at TMetcalf11. But if you enjoyed this episode, please make sure to subscribe, leave a review, and a 5-star rating. Until next time, see ya.